Now, Evangelist Winston Tye.
Thank you. The theme for this lesson is entitled, Stand Up for Jesus. What a glorious thought it is that we can stand up for Jesus, who is the ideal for all nations. He is the universal pattern, as he is the universal Savior. Jesus was willing to take the lowest place upon the cross, but he will not take it in our hearts. The time comes in the life of man when he must say, Here I stand. Jesus said, He that is not with me is against me. To stand up for Jesus means that we will stand in the gospel. The Apostle Paul declared, Now I make known unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye received, wherein also ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye hold fast the word which I preached unto you, except ye believed in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2. The Corinthians were standing in the gospel. Paul was of the conviction that the gospel is the answer to the problems of the church. He reminds his readers of the power of the gospel. The gospel says, when we hold fast the word. He had the same message for the church in Rome, but in different words. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Nowhere else does the power of God find such profound expression as in the gospel of Christ. Truth has dynamic power. Nothing like a gospel sermon to stir the minds and hearts of the people. It is a crime of the worst kind when a man refuses to speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, verse 11. The Corinthians were standing in the gospel. They had been saved through belief and obedience. The gospel consists in facts to be believed, commands to be obeyed, and promises to be enjoyed. We encourage you, my friend, stand up for Jesus and stand in the gospel of Christ. Paul was thankful for the Thessalonians. He said, God chose you unto salvation in sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you through our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by epistle of ours. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Stand up for Jesus and believe that men are called by the gospel. Stand up for Jesus and stand fast and hold to the doctrine that was delivered to the world by the apostles. It is a revelation from God. In standing up for Jesus, we stand in the grace of God. The grace of God is the goodness of God that we do not merit or deserve. Paul speaks of the riches of his goodness. It is the goodness of God that leads to repentance. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Our hearts should be full of gratitude. The grateful heart will give thanks always for all things. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Ingratitude is a sin of great magnitude. The apostle exhorted the Christians in the church at Corinth to give liberally. Then he said, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might become rich." 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Here in this passage, Paul refers to the pre-existence and divinity of Christ. Jesus became poor for our sakes, and through his poverty, we become rich in spiritual blessings. The argument is the same as at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. John declared, "We love because he first loved us." We should stand up for Jesus and prove the sincerity of our love. Paul wrote a letter to the church in Rome in which he said, "We have peace with God." Why did this peace between God and the Christians exist? They had been justified by faith. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Justification by faith means that we have reconciliation and friendship with God. The man justified by faith was so justified because he believed and obeyed the word of reconciliation. Furthermore, it is through Christ that we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. The Christians in the church in Rome were standing up for Jesus, and they were standing in the grace of God. Paul declared, "For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world." Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. In this passage, the grace of God is called a teacher, our instructor. We are students, and we are taught to deny, reject, or renounce ungodliness and worldly lust. Standing up for Jesus, we live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The Apostle Paul spoke freely and frequently of the grace of God as it pertains to the salvation of the soul. To this end, he says, "For by grace have ye been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Salvation is not by faith alone. It is by grace and through faith. It was also the apostles' observation that where sin abounded, grace did abound more exceedingly, that as sin reigned in death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. The psalmist declared, "All thy commandments are righteousness." Now, Paul said that grace reigns through righteousness. Therefore, the grace of God reigns through the commandments of God. In standing up for Jesus, we will stand on the promises of God. All promises are precious and exceeding great. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. All of the promises are true. Not one word he has spoken can be broken. Paul's argument on the resurrection of the dead is conclusive. He affirmed that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He does not stop to prove either that Christ died or that he was buried. He does prove that he arose from the dead. It is obvious that if he arose from the dead, he must have been both dead and buried. Therefore, Christ was what he claimed to be, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Following this unanswerable argument, we have his conclusion. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. The only work that we do, that we are sure we will be paid for, is the work that we do for the Lord. The farmer sows his wheat in the fall time, and he hopes to reap a good harvest. The merchant buys and sells goods, sometimes at a profit, and sometimes at a loss. This is the way it is, my friend, in all worldly pursuits. Not so, however, with the work we do for the Lord. No one ever gave to the Lord without receiving full pay. Will you stand up for Jesus and stand on the promises of God? God bless you, my friend.